It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA, what's happening? I got my partner in crime, Tatiana T. What's happening?
I am living my best life in my bougie friend's house, who has a really big, beautiful house and all of these nice things and pays a lot of money for lawn service.
Is she bougie? You never told. So here's the funny part now. Do you demonize her? You always talking about people with money need to give it up.
I have not said. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, I'm just playing. She's not bougie, but she likes to have a nice home.
Okay. No, I can't blame her for that.
Yeah.
She all right with me, man.
She's clean and she likes to have decorations instead of plain.
I love it. I love it. Yes. Hey, you, I appreciate you joining us for the Living Water Project last weekend. Great program. I appreciate you being there. What did you think?
I think it was nice. It was hot out there. I think we learned some cultural differences around terminologies and word choices, and that was a nice learning experience.
Yeah.
And I think that next time we should be more intentional with the live show and like really, you know, make it special.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the communication thing, because I actually love the meshing of different styles of worship and different, because you learn from one another. And there was a little like choice of words that were interpreted differently, and it brought clarity. It was a piece of education there. So I'm glad you said that. Really, really good point. And the other thing, tomorrow, June 29th, my mother, Annie Mae Rowland's birthday, my album drops, Holy Ambition, man. And you got two featured spots on it. Hey, Micah.
Wait, there's two?
Yeah, remember you, Mayday and God is Good. You're on both of those. Did you forget?
I remember God is Good. I think I thought that was Mayday.
Okay. That's an example of people who do too much, y'all. So,
yeah. You don't have no business talking about nobody who do too much.
I know what song's on mine.
Okay, sir, we recorded that stuff over a year ago, and you took a long time.
No. There were a few songs over a year ago. There was some other stuff recorded this year.
I'm talking about what we did.
Okay, now that's true.
And then you want me to remember.
I will remember that I was on two songs.
I don't remember that. I'm sorry. Okay. I gotta hear it again.
You'll hear it tomorrow, man. Yeah. Yep,
yeah, it's going to be on Apple Music.
That's everything. It's going to be on all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, man. Long time coming. I got Miles B on it. Man, Ms. Tiffany out of Mississippi. She was on the show 2 years ago. She did some guest spots on Empire, if y'all remember that. But yeah, she brought a lot of season to the album too. So I really love the Mississippi accent and the flow on there. So, man, I'm just excited about it.
How many tracks are going to be on the album?
Seven.
Okay.
Number of completion. That was intentional. So,
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah. So now, I don't know if you owe me an apology or we tell everyone that I was right about me knowing what struggle is. And you admitted that I was right. about struggle. Quit looking like that. You admitted that I was correct when you said I didn't know what struggle was.
I didn't say that. That's not what I said. That's not what I said at all.
You said you're not about that struggle.
First of all, let's recap everything that's true, because I'm going to tell the truth and you don't like to tell the truth. So I said that you did not grow up in struggle. Then you asked me if being on free or reduced lunch yes. is an indication of low income.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, it's an indication of low income.
Bam.
But first of all, those are two different things. Low income is a different thing than living in struggle. Okay. You can be low income and not necessarily be struggling. That's that. And also, there's different brackets in terms of like if it's free or if it's reduced. You said you was reduced, not free.
Still,
whoa. Let's keep that in mind.
It's government assistance.
I was free. You was reduced. Let's keep that in mind.
I didn't know. And
you was reduced for a certain period of time until you was reduced no more. I was free until I graduated high school. The whole time I was free. So let's just keep in mind that I did not say, oh, yeah, you did struggle. I said that is an indication of low income. Low income is the same as struggle. Okay. I would say that you were low income for a period of your life. Yes. But you were not. You never lived in struggle. Okay. Thanks.
So two things. The first thing is I don't know anyone who is in low income who didn't struggle. You're struggling for check to check. Every day is a struggle when you're in low income. So
have you never heard those people who say, we didn't have money, but we didn't even know the difference. We didn't know. Actually, it's some people who are like, yeah, we didn't know. We didn't know. I remember I read an article by somebody. I can't remember the woman's name, but she talked about that. And she said, people who always say that they didn't know that they were poor, she's like, if you didn't know, then you were not poor. She's like, when you're poor, you know it. Like, you really feel it. And so, like, you could be low income and not really feel an impact on your life because, A, there's a difference between poor and struggling and just being lower on the income scale. And if you didn't really feel that hurt, then you wasn't poor.
Well, I look at struggle meaning that I can't pay this month's bill, right? And I know for a fact my mom, God rest her soul, had those moments where it was like, I can't pay this bill. And I had to borrow money. So that is a struggle. That's not a cakewalk. So I don't know. And we're not doing the competitive thing. I didn't compete with you and say, hey, I struggled more than you did.
The original conversation was rooted in talking about lived experiences and what we grew up in.
Yeah.
So that's why there's a comparison happening.
No, it's you made that up and started beating me up because I said I had Krispy Kreme donuts for dinner one night. But my point is, I had a struggle. I know what struggle
really
is.
Really want people to feel like he's so tapped in.
I'm saying
that you just what you just had.
I bet I talked to
bring
more.
This back up. I'm bring this back up. I said, bring it back up if you want to. Go ahead, bring it back up. You just really want to seem like you're down for calls. You ain't down.
I am. I bet I'm more connected to the street now than you are.
No, you ain't.
I bet you.
Nope.
So all right. So we'll leave it up to our listeners. They'll weigh in. Princess can weigh in later too. I'm pretty sure.
What you want Princess to weigh in on? Because she can tell you how much I struggle. She was there.
Yeah, but she will acknowledge that I too struggle. So we'll get to that. But the last thing, because I know we both are pushing for time, but the last thing I wanted to talk about, Notori Naughton. Did you send that to me? Yeah, you sent it to me.
Right? Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to lead or you want me to play it first? What do you want to do?
I sent it, but I don't even remember what it was. So,
yeah. Basically, Notori was saying when she met her husband.
Oh, I remember now.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, so basically, he had a rule that he was not going to give anybody the girlfriend title until he had known them for a year. And so during that first year when they were not together, you know, he was kind of like, she's like, okay, well, I'm going to keep seeing people. He's like, see other people, do whatever you got to do, whatever, whatever. Like, he just wanted to be each other's lives, know each other without putting that label on there. Now they are married. So in their case, you know, that worked out for them. But I think for a lot of people, when they hear that, it's actually going to be some shenanigans and some tomfoolery. So don't let, I don't want people to hear that and think, oh, so yeah, this guy doesn't want to be his girlfriend. Let me marry him.
Let's play it, and then we'll both chime in.
Okay.
So we've heard of women having 3-month rules, 6-month rules. What I want to talk about is your husband had a 1-year rule. Girl, I ain't never heard nothing like that. So tell me, girl, listen, I didn't come through all the interviews all night long.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the 1-year rule that your husband had, your now husband, tell me what that rule entailed and how did you feel about that initially? Because you're Notori Naughton.
Yes.
Tasha St. Patrick, girl. Hotter than hot.
Yes. The 1-year rule was really to made a choice not to be in any exclusive committed relationships with anyone until he's known them and been friends with them for a year. Like, it was like a pure friendship because he had this, I guess, thought process that if you jump into a relationship romantically or you don't know the person, you're only getting like the beginning, the mirror image of like, oh, I want everything you want. I like everything you like. So I think that he was just like, let's just take it slow. And I was feeling like, don't you want to wife me up? Like,
period.
Why aren't you trying to be my man?
And did you have concerns that, like, he was, like, playing games and maybe had a few?
Well, I was actually dating a few. Honestly, I had a few people on my roster. And I was like, well, if you don't step up, somebody else will. He was like, that's cool. Date who you want to date. You're not mine. And I was a little taken aback, but I was also intrigued. Like, why isn't he being possessive or crazy? Like, some men would be. He was like, because we're friends and I want to really see who you are without the pressure of relationship. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna play this game. Let me see what you do. Let's see what you're talking about. But it took me a while to understand that he really wanted a relationship, marriage, engagement to be on a strong foundation. And friendship really is the strongest foundation. Friendship and relationship with God. So for all the ladies who are like, this man ain't moving fast enough, I'm not saying wait to get what you need as far as commitment, but don't be so quick to jump into things until you really know who you're jumping in with.
So what do you think, T? Because you and I didn't comment because I said, hey, let's wait for the show. So I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm glad that it worked out for her. I just think that a lot of people use excuses to keep you from really defining the relationship and what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I am glad that she kept seeing other people during that time, because what happens oftentimes is that the person closes themselves off to other opportunities, to other dating, even though the person that they're most interested in really is not trying to commit to them. And so they end up being really informally committed to somebody who hasn't, you know, named that they actually want to be committed to them. And so they just tie themselves down and then you ended up in what people call a situationship, or you feel like you wasted time and all this kind of stuff. So I'm glad that she kept dating. And I'm glad that it worked out for her. I don't think that's the norm. I really don't.
I don't think it's the norm either. I'll be honest, when I first heard it at the very beginning of it, when she was explaining his position, I was like, yeah, he being slick, he wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. But as she continued and started talking about the friendship piece, and I was like, that is really the foundation, really getting to know each other. The two things I will say is, absent the sex, I would say no, absent that. But you mentioned you're glad she was seeing other people, but I think other people, for both of them, is a huge distraction. You're talking about, I think I shared that with you a long time ago. We talked about that. If you're really trying to be serious about someone, I think you're talking about a situation of divided attention. So it's really hard to really focus on that person when you're trying to, you know, learn and entertain someone else and go out with someone else. And then that comparison mindset, you'll start, you know, well, she makes me laugh. Well, this one, you know, I like the way she looks at me, you know. So you start going down that road. And I think it's just, and it's draining. It could be emotionally draining trying to do all that. So absent seeing other people in the sex, I would say that I would really support the idea of saying, hey, let's be friends for an extended period of time. Not saying a year, maybe not, but you learn a lot. So that's my spiel. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think that, because you're saying, like, if we're really trying to be serious, dividing your attention. To me, if you're saying you just want to talk about being friends and we're not going to use even a bring the girlfriend word into it until a year, that means we're not serious right now. That means at the year mark, we can consider being serious. So there's no need for me to be all totally focused on you when we haven't established that's what we're doing. I also think this is a little bit different, because in general, I don't think there's anything wrong with having the foundation of a friendship that will, you know, potentially blossom into other things. My issue with it in this scenario is that it's manufactured. I think that if they just met and they happen to be friends and know each other for a year, and then he decided, I really like this person and I want to see about taking this step further and I want to ask them out on a date at that time, that's kind of a natural flow and progression from friendship into something more. You met this person knowing what your intention was, knowing that you were interested in them in a more than platonic way, that you had romantic interest in them, that you had attraction in them, and you just wanted to then try to manufacture a timeline and a friendship around it to, you know, create that, the semblance of we moved from friendship to something else. You knew from the beginning that your interest was not friendship. So I take issue with the manufacturing of it all. But I think if I naturally just met somebody and we were friends for a year and then they wanted to ask me out, that's totally different, and I'm more comfortable with that than if they just wanted to keep me in a holding pattern and see what happens.
Well, is it manufacturing or is it discipline? It's like, okay, I'm attracted to this person, but hey, we're going to put that aside and just really focus on getting to know each other. I would like to know
to what extent they were physical in that year.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's
Cause don't even kiss me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're truly saying we're friends, I said discipline, and you truly saying that that's
my point. When you're saying, is it manufacturing or is it discipline? I can't answer that question because I don't know if he was actually being disciplined.
Okay, that's fair.
Because if you're like, oh yeah, I'm taking you out, and then we kissing at the end of the night and doing all this and the third, no, yeah. You said friends don't do that.
Exactly. I agree with that.
So I need more information. I don't love it. I love that it worked out for her.
Yeah, I just, you know, and to your point, I like what you said at the beginning, because I do think that is another way that individuals do have their cake and eat it too. It's like, let me do this. Hey, we're friends, you know, for now. And then you're hoping that something evolves and it never, you know, comes to pass. So yeah. Interesting.
I would love to know how many other women he used those same lines on. That didn't end up getting the ring, and that felt used and tricked by that framing.
But see, it's funny that you say that, and I laugh. You say he used those lines, but if he, it's just like anything. If you're accepting applications for a job or a position, everyone can't get it. And so, is he putting on lines, or did you? Once I really got to know you, I found out we're not compatible.
Maybe.
I mean, those. Only he can answer that, but
yeah.
And I'm not saying that some people don't have nefarious intentions when they do it, but yeah,
I would be willing to bet money that most do.
Like, I mess with you, T, man. That's crazy.
I'm just saying.
Well, that was interesting. That was very, yeah. So All right, man. Anything else before I introduce our guest tonight?
No, I'm excited to hear about who this guest is.
Yeah, she's awesome, man. Ovietta Ruffin, she's a faith leader, she's a community builder, an advocate for intentional living and courageous action. She's going to tell us more about that. And helping her, I was introduced to her by Trainer V. She's been on a few times, and so she's going to be on as well. And so we're going to crack this nut, man, and see, make it do what it do.
All right.
All right, people, when we come back, Trainer V and Ovietta Ruffin. See you when we see you. Thanks, T.
Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25 back.
All right, beautiful people, we are back. And I am so excited about our guest today. I believe so many people need this right now because we're living in a world where people are overwhelmed, disconnected, afraid, and searching for meaning. We talked about purpose before. We've had one of our guests. We have two guests right now. Trainer V, man, she's been on multiple times. Y'all know her. And we talked about purpose. We talked about her calling and her gifts. And She brought a friend with us today, y'all. I'm like super excited to meet this person who I will consider an expert in leadership as well. She reminds us that leadership is not just about titles. It's about positions and influence. And she's faith driven. She's a community leader and builder. She's an advocate for intentional living and courageous action. She has 20 years of experience in local government. I can't wait to hear about that. And she spent her career helping organizations move from vision to action. So please welcome the founder of the Metal and Moxie Collective and the creator of the Courageous Action Conference. And I'm just so excited. Ovietta Ruffin, how are you? Trainer V, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you? Whenever somebody's introducing me, I'm always like, who are they talking about? But I know. Read the intro.
Especially when you read that bio and you talk about the accomplishments. Everyone I talk to, they're like, wow, really? You know, I did all that. So
yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
That's right.
And that's only a part of her bio. So
I know. We only have about 30 to 45 minutes though. So. I'm so excited. And Trainer V, thank you for the connection. And the first thing, I'll just tell y'all the sidebar. And people get on me about this. I'm always trying to, hey, I need these questions. I need to know more. And I'm asking, and Trainer V is like, hey, we got it. Just go on here first. Ask her about the testimony, her testimony. So I'm going to take a lead off of Trainer V, and I will ask you, Ovietta, tell us about your testimony. What's your testimony?
So that's such an interesting, I guess, lead-in question, because it could start in so many different ways, right? Yeah. So as you said in the bio, I worked for the city of Durham for about 14 years of my professional career. And then wow. During COVID, I knew that I wanted to do more. I knew that I wanted to make more money, because who doesn't want to make more money, right? Mm-hmm. And so I took a job in Oregon. In Central Oregon, I moved to Bend for a year. It was one of the most changing times of my life. I knew that I was moving into an area that was not very diverse. I sorely underestimated how the that lack of diversity could show up in, at the time, 2020, like 2021. Mm-hmm. And so while we were out there, because my youngest daughter moved out with me. And so while we were out there, we faced a number of adversities, any racially motivated thing that you could probably think of. There were days it definitely felt like we moved back into 1950.
Wow.
And so after about 8 or 9 months, my daughter was like, Mommy, I've had enough. Once we came home to visit for Christmas, she was like, I really don't want to go back. And so we went back so she could finish that school year. She was a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. And she could finish out that semester. And then she came home. She came back to Durham. And then in May of that same year, I also moved back. That portion of my life was probably one of the, if not the biggest faith walk I've ever had to endure, because yeah. I moved out there to take a $30,000 pay increase. And then I spent all the money that I made flying us back and forth home over the course of that year. Wow. And then when I moved and came back home, I came home without a job. I just knew that I had to get out of that environment. And so at that point, my daily mantra was like, Lord, I trust you. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what the purpose is. I don't know why you would let me leave my family, have me leave my family to move out here to endure these things. But I trust you. And the next 3 to 4 months were extremely difficult and dark. A lot of prayer, a lot of tears. It was just a really dark time. But on the other side of that, I was offered a job that I don't even remember applying for, mm-hmm. making twice the money I made when I went to Oregon to start with. Fully remote, like all the things that I desired showed, like literally seemed to fall out of the sky. Like within a year from that, I bought my first house. So all of those things and that series of events has really led up to kind of where we are today, where we are right now.
What a powerful story. Let me ask you this. What's the takeaway from that experience?
Ooh, there are so many. I would say probably the first one that comes to mind is to just be faithful, right? Yeah. That sometimes most often you won't understand. Mm-hmm. And you might not understand in the moment. You might not even understand after the moment is over, because the number of times that I was like, Lord, can I get a clue? Like, can you just let me back behind the curtain a little bit? Yeah. But if you were
one of the things that I remember from your testimony, Ovi, is that I remember you telling me that you had gone to a George Myers conference. Mm-hmm. And when you went to that conference, you knew something in you knew that that was what you were supposed to be doing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so you start talking about the conference, and mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, God has a way of sending us. He has a way of letting us know what we're supposed to be doing. Yeah. So none of what, you know, because our testimonies are so similar, and none of what you've been through, the blind faith that you've walked, the roads that you walked on, and it has brought you, it has come full circle and brought you to your destiny.
Yes, I agree with that 1,000%. I think, you know, and that's what I mean in terms of like just trusting, because I had no idea. Like I had not even gone to any of those conferences at the time I took the job in Oregon. Right. So I had no idea that is where that journey was going to lead, yeah. or that my experiences in Oregon were going to prepare me to reach all different types of people. And not that like I'm from Durham, like we're a smorgasbord of all the things, Black, white, mm-hmm. Asian, like any background, nationality, sexuality, like you can find it in Durham. So it wasn't that, but it was more about being immersed in a situation where like people don't really want to talk to you.
Right.
You know? Right. And so being I did not realize that that period of my life was shaping me to be able to impact people that might not want to be impacted.
Yes, but it happened. And I love, and so I love all of this because I keep hearing, that's why I asked about the takeaways. I keep hearing the courage, the courageous action that you made. And I can tell you, like in my career, I was going approaching 20 years and everyone was saying, don't leave because this promotion will be waiting for you if you stay, and took a leap of faith. My experience wasn't as probably challenging as yours, meaning the environment wasn't that that rigid or one dimensional, but there were still takeaways. And so I just love when we move on faith, and I think that's what you really speak to that in your in everything you do. So what a powerful testimony. Do you think sometimes people confuse comfort with peace, though, because we will settle, I think, sometimes when we just start being comfortable?
Oh, absolutely. I think people confuse them all the time. And to be fair, I don't think there's anything wrong with the season of comfort, right? And so an example of that is while I was at the city, during my time there, I went through a divorce. So then it was a period of time where I was a single mom. My daughter had a son, so I was helping raise my grandson. And during that time, that was not a season of growth for me. Like, it was emotionally and mentally, but it wasn't a season of like a professional growth, right? Or financial growth, because in those seasons, I just needed to be comfortable. I needed to be able to leave work if I needed to. I needed to be able to get to my kids' softball games. I needed to be able to pick my grandson up from daycare, right? And in that season of my life, that is what comfort and peace looked like. Yeah. And so, but I think it's important to really be in tune with your purpose to determine, is this a season or is this where I'm supposed to be permanently, right? For me, that was a season. That season of comfort was a season. And I think you can stress yourself out if you spin your wheels always chasing the next thing. So I think it's about finding the sweet spot of like, I'm comfortable and I want to grow, right? And so how can you do that without never giving your mind or your body an opportunity to rest, right? And that is about, for me, is about identifying what your purpose is. And so as you are chasing that and leaning into that, it doesn't feel so like the bike is always going, right? It doesn't feel like it's always chasing. And it helps me anyway to find kind of that sweet spot of both. Like, I'm chasing my purpose, I'm walking into my purpose, but I'm doing so at a pace that feels like it's stretching me a little bit, it's requiring a little bit of courage, but not so much so that I'm exhausted by it.
Wow, I feel like you're screaming at me. what do you think, Trainer V? What do you think?
Listen, I'm like, I've always had the mindset that, and I told God this the other day, I said, you know what? I'm not striving anymore. I said, because if you called me to do something, or when he calls us to do something, he already knows what it's going to take to get there. Yeah. So like my sister said, I'm just going to rest and enjoy the ride. You do this.
That's right.
Nah, I'm working on it, y'all.
It's tough.
Yeah, that's good stuff, though. Well, I want to hear about your time in city government. You said Durham 20 years. So tell us about that.
Oh, wow. So I landed in Durham by accident. Well, not in Durham, because I was, like I said, born and raised. But I landed at the city by accident. I started out in the finance department. I don't even remember what my job title was back then. But I started out in the finance department in... Let's see, Lana was born in 05, so maybe 06 or 07. And then I like went from the finance department. I was an analyst, and then I moved into billing and collections. And so then I was a supervisor in the billing and collections department. We were growing at the time. The city was growing, and we were moving all of our water bill. Everybody who has water in the city was moving over to a new platform. And we were also moving over any other billing that you could bill the city for to the other platform. So then I went from billing and collections department into IT. And then I spent my last 8 years in IT as an analyst, but I also was like, I was a grievance officer. So I was on the board that listened to people's grievances when they were, you know, when things were happening. I also was responsible for our, at one point I led our, it was called Idea Starter Program, where employees could come up with an idea that they wanted to implement in the city. And we would take them through like a 6 week course on how to do those things in little increments, and they would get voted on to see if they would be picked up by the city. I worked on our employee appreciation committee. So I did a ton of things, a ton of project work. I worked with our iLabs. So I did a ton of work in a bunch of different departments over the years. And it's a great place to work. Like I did not leave because of anything related to the quality of work there. I just knew that I had outgrown what I was going to be able to do while I was there. I had outgrown them. They had outgrown me. Now, the flip side is I could have stayed and just retired, right? But then you start to talk about purpose. You start to talk about growth. And I knew that I wanted and was destined to be doing more than just analyst work in that particular role.
Wow. That's, and yeah, I'm hearing you mentioned collections. I'm just imagining that being a very challenging, you know,
interesting for sure.
I want to ask both of y'all this, cause y'all both are, experts in leadership on this matter. And I want to talk about the connection with the people you serve, because oftentimes when you start moving up and you lose that, there's this disconnect. You know, we try to say, hey, I've been there, but if you're so far removed, sometimes you really forget things, and things change and evolve. How do you stay connected with the people you serve?
Ooh, V, you want to take that one first?
How do I stay connected? Well, for me, I know that I use a lot of my lived experiences, and people can relate to your lived experiences, because when you try to talk to people, they're going to want to know, you know, first of all, you don't know what you're talking about. And yes, I do, because I'm telling you because I lived it. And that's when the ears become open. Yes. And so just connecting with people with like experiences and things that they're dealing with and going through, and then being able to motivate them to help them get beyond.
Yeah.
And it's giving them hope. I call myself, I'm a hope dispenser, right? So it's like, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what you're dealing with, you're never stuck.
Yeah.
There's always an answer to the equation.
I like that.
And so it's like, I even said to myself the other day, I'm going to stop saying I don't understand, because I do. I have the mind of Christ. I may not have the solution right now, but I do understand, because God knows all things. Yeah. I just have to ask him to help me find the solution to the equation.
Amen. Thank you. Ovietta?
Yeah, I probably should have went first. That was a really good answer. I would say one of the things that I learned to help me stay connected to people was transparency.
Yes.
Right? Like, I think we often are paralyzed by the thought that you are the only one experiencing XYZ. You're the only one that's ever had it this bad. You're the only one that's going through this amount of grief, right? You're the only one that feels like God's forgotten them. You're the only one that feels whose finances are in disarray. And when you start talking about it, right, you start being vocal about it. You start being transparent about it. You start inviting people into your circumstance. People start to vocalize it. Like, you are not the only, you're not in it by yourself. One example I have from that, it probably just happened a couple months ago. So I am at the tenderoni age of being perimenopausal. Okay. So for months, I would go to my daughter's house, my daughter's apartment, and I would smell smoke. right? Like cigarette smoke. My daughter's not a smoker. And I would be like, you are smoking. Now, my grandson's 7. Are you smoking around my grandson? She's like, mommy, I don't smoke. I'm like, I know what I smell. This is my nose. I done had this nose all my life, right? I know what I smell. And it happened for months. And then one night, I was reading something on social media, and somebody was listing out side effects of perimenopause. And one of them was called olfactory something, 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 but it's phantom smoke smells.
Huh.
Right? So I, me either, because that was not part of.
So Tap In is a events ticketing slash artist promoting platform. But there's three features that come with Tap In, which is really awesome. One, we make it easy to discover events that are in your local area. Also, for artists who are, you know, event planners or organizers who want to sell tickets to their events, we make sure that you keep 100% of your ticket sales. Number two, we wanted to make sure that artists can build a community around themselves and their events. And then number three, a lot of times you'll hear an artist say, visit my website, visit my portfolio, take this QR code. Well, we wanted to make it easy and actually add those portfolios and websites into the app so that it's all in one place. Mm-hmm. So consider it like almost like a one-stop shop for artists and event organizers and planners. It is available to download and use. It is on both Apple Store and Google Play Store.
Journal that I was given as a little girl, just tell you that. So I put it on Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. Put on Facebook, and I'm like, guess what, y'all? All this time, I've been fussing at my daughter. That post got like 60 comments from people.
Yeah.
Number one, talking about how they had also been fussing at their husband or children because they were having random smoke smells, and they're like, nobody in our house smokes. I'm thinking my husband's lying. Like, it's done caused so many arguments. But also detailing other symptoms that they were having that other people could chime in and be like, oh my God, I didn't know that was a symptom. Oh my God, I'm dealing with that too. And so it's just an example of how, like, I had been thinking I was crazy for the part of 6 months. But the moment I opened that up to sharing that with somebody else, like, maybe I was going crazy, but so is everybody else. Like, you know, I'm not going crazy by myself. But I think that that's what happens in life. Like, you just think you're the only one. And until you open your mouth and share that, and then you're able to find that, like, you're really not the only one. But people can't help you until you're willing. There's no help for you. And it's a very lonely place until you become willing to do that.
That's the truth. You really cannot. I put it like this. You ever tried to wake up somebody that wasn't ready to get up? They're going to fight you.
Every moment, yep.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we like being comfortable in dysfunction. We get stuck. And it takes, and that's what I love about discipleship. It takes someone to come along, like Ovi, to come along and like, look, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. That's my constant push. Come on, y'all. We can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And reassuring them and helping them to see that, you know, you're just saying this. I'm showing you that you can do this, and I'm not willing to give up on you that quickly.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that. And I love the transparency piece, too, because it makes you relatable, right? Like, I remember my mentor telling me that years ago. She said, let people see who you really are. And when they see who you really are, that's how you stay connected. The other thing I was going to add, but I think both of y'all made some very good points on staying connected, really listening to your people, because sometimes they have the greatest ideas. Honestly, that's been the secret to what, if you want to call my success, but I've listened to the people who actually do the job, and they have some of the best ideas, and give them credit for it as well. Don't steal it from them, but listening to them, there a lot of them. Every organization I've been in, I found that they're waiting. They just want to be heard. And when you give them, you know, your ears, just it's an abundance of success. So both of those are just great. I want to ask both of y'all this, too, about the the correlation or lack of correlation of achievement and feeling fulfilled or fulfillment. Like, why do you think so many people have reached this period in their careers or life where they're considered successful, but they just don't feel that there's no fulfillment there?
I'll go first this time. I feel like last time I didn't go first. I'm like, maybe I should. So I'll go first this time. So it's interesting that you brought this up, because it's one of the things that at the conference this year, we are going to do some group journaling around the difference between contentment, fulfillment, and happiness. Mm-hmm. To answer your question specifically, I think it's because we have been conditioned to tie fulfillment and happiness to things. And the reality is, things like, now don't get it twisted. Now listen, they say money can't buy happiness. And I'm always like, let me see. Let me see if it can or not. Let me prove that theory right or wrong. Yeah. But that is something internal.
It can make an impact.
It can definitely make an impact. That's right. You know, but I think the key to that is understanding that, like, you can achieve and achieve and achieve. But if there is something missing or something void or something deficient, those achievements aren't going to meet that deficiency. And so it is really about identifying what the deficiency is and then addressing that. And then, you know, like, it's the difference between, you see some people, some couples are married and they don't have much, right? They got each other. They don't have a lot of money. They're not living a lavish lifestyle. Maybe they're taking a bus. Maybe they're doing whatever people would deem to be, like, not representative of being super successful, but they are happy, right? They are happy. They have, as far as they are concerned, they got all the money in the world. Then you got somebody that's a multimillionaire, could buy anything they want with the wave of their finger, but they are committing suicide at a higher rate than anybody else, right? And so it's really about identifying what the space is internally that's the deficit. And then figuring out how to address that space and understanding that that doesn't come with more money, more degrees on your wall, like more accolades. Because if you don't address the deficiency remains no matter what other things you add to it.
Drop the nuggets on that. Thank you. Thank you. Trainer V, what do you have to add?
Well, I'm just saying one word: purpose.
Yeah.
Lack of. And when you don't know what your purpose is, you're not going to be fulfilled. And the only way you're going to know what your purpose is to seek who gave you the original blueprint in the first place. And so the thing of it is that each one of us are created for something unique to us. And when we're not in that place and we're not doing what we were designed to do, we're not going to feel fulfilled. Think about anything that's created. When it's not designed to function the way that it is, it's going to break down. Mm-hmm. I can't go in there and make my stove operate like a microwave.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I just really think it goes back to purpose. And the only way we're going to figure that out is to go back to the originator and figure out what that is.
Yes. These are great answers. And I love the reference to the originator that. But let me ask both of you this. What do you think people miss?
Can you repeat? You said, what do you think people miss? I'm sorry.
Misunderstand about purpose.
I think one example, just because you can do something well, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the thing that you should be doing.
That's a good one. Okay.
Because, again, think about this. If you can do it well by yourself, you wouldn't need God.
Yeah.
So is that really your purpose? And to add to that, then ask yourself, even though I'm doing it well, is it satisfying in me?
Yeah. I love that answer.
I do too. I would probably say that I think one of the things people misunderstand is that I think your purpose can look different at different seasons of your life. I don't think it means your I don't think that that means the root of your purpose changes, but I think how that purpose is manifested can change. Like, I don't know that I would have been prepared or equipped to host a conference 10 years ago, right? 10 years ago, yes, my purpose was still to impact people. Yes, my purpose was still to be vulnerable and transparent, and, like, you know, lead people and things like that. But that showed up in me being obedient in where I was at that time in my life. Purpose, the root of the purpose didn't change, but how that purpose was manifested in my life did. And I think people oftentimes will get stuck in one thing and they're like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I can only do it this way. And it can only look one way. And so if it doesn't look that way, or they're not successful in that one vein, then they toss it out as either their purpose is no longer working, or they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or they try to pivot and do it a different way. And as V said, like, then they pivot away from doing it with, you know, under the leadership of God, and then it definitely don't work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, the biggest thing I think about is when we hear purpose, well, I can tell you how I used to think. It's this big thing, right? It's like this, you're supposed to be doing something that's just groundbreaking and it's going to change the world and just start this legacy. And it, that's so far from the truth, right? It could be, your purpose could be being a housekeeper, but you're having interaction with people where you can spread the word or, and introduce people to Christ. So that's what comes to my mind. But all of you, both of you said some really cool things. And now, Ovietta mentioned the conference. I want to hear, about the conference. I want our listeners to hear about it. So tell us about the conference.
I could definitely do that. So I'm so excited. This is the second annual Courageous Action Do It Scared conference. The conference itself, so last year was our first year. We had four panels. We talked about imposter syndrome. We had a men's panel that talked about how the community can show up better for men, both in a partner relationship way and just as a community. We did an exercise on mindfulness, and then we did some group journaling too, kind of all together. And then we ended with what is going to be what has become a conference staple. We ended last year with everyone wrote a love letter to themselves, and sealed it. And then, I mailed it out months later, probably months after people had forgotten what they wrote. And so this year is the second annual. It's August 22nd. We pivot a little bit in terms of what the context of the sessions are. So we've got one session on setting boundaries. Why they're important, how you set them, both professionally and personally. I've got both a male and a female therapist that are going to facilitate the conversations, but they're going to lead us through, guide us through that. We've got a session on adulting where we've got four young adults between 21 and 26. I got two guys and two girls that are going to talk about what about being adults has caught them off guard, what they wish we had shared as like our generation had imparted on them before they got to being an adult, what they would like us to know as young adults, what they would like our generation to know about them. Then our third session, we're going to do some community journaling around the difference between happiness, contentment, and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to end with another session on grounding and mindfulness. And then, of course, we'll write our love letter. In addition to that, we have a vendor experience. We've got nine vendors, including Trainer V. So we've got some folks can tap in with a new therapist. They can we got some self-help stuff going. We got a new cigar lounge is going to be on site selling cigars, if that's your thing. We've also got some men's journaling and things like that. We're going to do some networking, got some really intense networking things happening. And then we're going to have an amazing catered lunch. It's a really good time. It's a DJed event. It's downtown Durham at the Durham Bottling Company again, August 22nd from 11 to 4. People can find out about the conference at metalandmoxie.org. And so it's going to be a really good time. And so I invite your listeners to come out and join us. It is, like I said, it's our second annual one. Last year we hosted about 85, 90 people. Expecting it to grow even more this year. And it's just a really good time. It's a really good time to connect with other like-minded people about a host of things. And so while the content of the conference changes, the goal is always to connect people with their community and give people an opportunity to be introduced to other people that they can connect with on a number of levels, a number of things, and then help provide people with resources that can help step them into their next courageous journey, whatever that happens to look like.
Man, I'm excited just listening to you.
You have to come.
This is good stuff. That imposter syndrome has always been something I really want to dig deep into. So I love that. And then the setting boundaries, that's something myself I could work on. But yeah, I'm super excited to hear that. That is great. Now, you said second annual. Trainer V, were you at last year's conference?
No.
Okay.
We just connected this year and I'm super excited to go, especially, you know, knowing what's going to the topics that's going to be covered and the things that's going to take place. I think it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to get there.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited. Look, I'm for all of this. Okay.
So that's great. So you said y'all known each other before, or y'all just connecting this year, period, meaning y'all just met this year.
You know something, we just connected, but it feels like we've been knowing each other for quite a while.
I was going to say the very same thing.
Wow. I love it.
I love it when our plan comes together.
That's correct. That's right.
You know?
Yes. That's good stuff.
AZ, I call it, when you meet one of your tribe, you just know. You're speaking the same language.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Man, this is so good. As we wrap up, I'm going to give both of y'all the floor because I know Trainer V has some literature and I know you spoke on the conference. There may be something else you want to share too. So this is the time you can talk about anything, your works that's coming out, other events you may attend, words of encouragement. I'm giving you ladies the floor. I'm going to start with you, Trainer V. What do you have?
Well, I have some new literature that's coming out. And if you want to know and see what that is, come to the conference.
I like that.
I love it.
I love it, too. I like that. What support?
I love it. Well, I appreciate that. I'm really looking forward to the conference. So, like I said, if people want to learn more information about the conference, just about me, about the vision, they can visit metalandmoxie.org, M-E-T-T-L-E and Moxie, M-O-X-I-E.org. It has all the information there. They can also get tickets there. We'd love to host your audience at the conference. And I just want to say to people that, like, the mantra for it all is do it scared, right? I think it's the takeaway is that whatever that thing is, it doesn't look the same for everybody. It could be starting a business. It could be leaving a relationship. It could be entering a relationship, right? It could be buying a house. It could be starting a job. Whatever it is, just pray about it. Know that if you go into it with the right intentions and you really seek to find out what your purpose is, then doing it scared can never go wrong. Like, you live, you learn, but it can never, ever, ever go wrong. And so I'm super excited. I want to thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the connection, V, for all the things. I am so looking forward to just connecting more as we move forward and we learn more about each other and how we can impact the world, how we can take over the world, Pinky.
Amen. That part. Well, what are we doing today, Pinky? We same thing we're going to do every day. We're going to take over the world.
Take over the world. That's right.
So you can also find the Metal and Moxie Cube. It's on Facebook, Instagram. Oh, she all over the place.
Wow. Yeah, I forgot. So I'm new to this part, right? So yes, Facebook is the same thing, a Metal and Moxie Collective. It's on Instagram. It's also on LinkedIn. So we can be found anywhere. If you Google it, it'll pop up and you get all the information you need. If anybody has any questions about anything, all of my information, all my contact information can be found there as well.
Man, I love how Trainer V's chiming in. Like, I'm trying to think what analogy I, but the support, like Flavor Flav to Chuck D or
me too.
MC to MC Hammer. That's some
me
good
too.
Stuff,
me too. Me too.
I love it. I love it, and I love like moving when you're scared because there's so much to gain when you step.
Listen,
out.
I'm telling you, if you've ever felt this way, do it afraid or do it scared, you need to get to the conference. I promise you. It from what I know of OV and just the things that she's doing and what I've seen, what I read, what we've talked about, y'all, this is thebomb.com. Come on.
Man, that y'all heard it. Y'all have to.
This is a great opportunity to invest in yourself.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, we're going to do everything we can to promote it on our end. And ladies, y'all both are golden to me. Trainer V, thank you. Thank you for coming on again and for the connection. Ovietta, pleasure meeting you. And as always, you both have a place, a seat at the table on the Unknown Preacher LA.
Absolutely. You know, you can't get rid of me that easy.
I appreciate it. God bless y'all.
Thank you, OV. I'll talk to you all soon. Y'all have a blessed day.
All right. You too. Bye. Thanks, y'all.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.
The unknown.